May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 952. Beloved Saviour, faithful friend, the joy of all thy blood-bought train, in mercy to our aid descend, or else we worship thee in vain. Hymn 952.
Read the word of God, the Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes. He causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he grant us prayer, a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, who hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place, thou great God, Jehovah, the true and living God. Lord, we come before thee feeling much sadness, as, Lord, there was visited our causes of truth, the group we know and love, with much death. And, Lord, we stand in solemn awe, thou hast a perfect right to take thy people home to thyself. Oh, we do carry that thankfulness that we believe that those that have now passed the river are home with thee in heaven. And Lord, oh, these things are great warnings to us. Oh, we especially have the word so much in our mind and upon our heart with concern and real need to beg thee to prepare us. Thy word, be ye ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour that ye think not. Oh, do prepare us each, Lord. May it solemnly be in us, upon us, in concern and feeling much need to do for thee to do and do thy work, and oh, that there may be a completing of it at that appointed time, and that we may be among those saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Oh, may we each be concerned, from the youngest of us to the oldest, Lord, each one that has any mind. Oh, Lord, do not leave us only to our natural minds, but may we be spiritually minded. We know to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, we do beg, Lord, prepare us each. Oh, so may we be in earnest, Lord, in the solemn time that we are passing through. And Lord, we do in much love and affection pray for our dear friends who have lost their loved ones, especially as a group of churches, Lord, and all the many years some of us have been in the way and have known our dear leader, whom thou hast taken to thyself now. Oh, Lord, we do feel it, feel the loss of him being taken from us. Oh, we know he was loving and faithful. By thy grace, and much use of thee. We do especially think and pray for the dear sorrowing church at Bethel Luton. Lord, it is so much all of us up and down across the land in the churches, and now with a feeling of much sadness. And yet, Lord, we have that right acknowledgement, we trust, to rejoice that it is well with our friends. Surely it is well. And what we seek to meditate upon, Lord, has been blessedly sweet. Oh, thinking of what must it be to be there in heaven. And Lord, when thou giveth us something of the blessedness of the sweets, the sweetness of the streams below, this is our question, Lord, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for his dear family, Lord. Oh, we have thought of it, and we have said sometimes to some of them, oh, how they have such love and such closeness and such family love, a lovely family. And Lord, we do pray for them all. Do comfort them each, Lord, with the comfort of thy love, and especially his dear widowed wife. And now, if we sat near her, just very near her, at the last funeral we attended at Luton Bethel, and her dear friend was so wonderfully helped to take that service. Lord, oh, we do pray, thus comfort, with all the comfort of thy love, Lord. And Lord, as we would not single out one, Lord, in a way, impartiality, Lord, thou knowest. We do pray for our dear friends and dear sister in the faith here, Lord, who has had to suffer the loss of her dear brother. Thou knowest, Lord, we feel so much for them and their own people at home, Lord, how they feel it. Oh, dear Eleanor, daughter, and thou knowest, dear Edmund, and thou knowest, dear, the other dear daughter too. We must be careful, Lord, not to single out and be partial toward any. We do pray, Lord, thou wilt comfort every one of our friends. Dear friend we grew up with at Stockfold Hope, her dear one now taken, we believe, home to be with thee. But oh, here there is so much mourning. And those six funerals, Lord, that are due to take place of our people who we've loved over the years, Lord, in thy holy name. And Lord, oh, we know they are home. We're confident that with that thou givest us to believe a landed home. We believe they are. And Lord, oh, it comes sometimes, it comes now. I shall soon be landed on yonder shore above. You know, if when we quoted this some years ago now, a dear lady here was blessed and wrote regarding it. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we do pray thou wilt give us assurance of our part in the Redeemer's blood. No other way of salvation. No other hope. None other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so help us this night, Lord, as we come, poor as we are, to preach the word to our friends here who we've had as dear friends and known and loved them for many years. Help us, Lord, thou knowest the word that thou hast so sweetly settled upon our spirit. And Lord, the way of thy blessed spirit, oh, we stand in wonder, Lord. Thou dost help a poor unworthy preacher. poor under gardener as we feel to be, Lord. But Lord, thou knowest, and thou hast been so good in mercy and love in the way thou hast given us sweet signs following the preaching of the word. Oh, we do want to give thee all the glory, Lord. Oh, we pray we may never take any for ourselves. But Lord, we do pray, come tonight and see thy blessing to each case here. Oh, may it be a time of favour of feeding upon the word, a time of favour of believing, true believing. May faith be active in thee, Lord, the Lamb once slain. Bless the friends with that vital grace. We may be favoured, Lord. We cannot please thee without faith, and we do try it might be our exercise in pleasing him, their pleasure's place. Oh, may we feel it, may we have it, may we be so favoured, Lord, in this way, by the blessed Spirit coming and testifying of Christ the Lamb. And oh, with all the things of how we are led in pondering at this time, all the things of considering the pathways and lives of our friends now taken from us. And Lord, how as we've said here before and felt it in many times in acknowledging, Lord, the great cloud of witnesses of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And Lord, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And Lord, in that way, another six added to the cloud of witnesses we have known. Lord, thou knowest. Lord, oh, we do pray, thus help us. Oh, as we think of the people up and down the land. Lord, those in mourning, the churches in mourning, and Lord, us too in mourning with them. But Lord, oh, may we have that blessed favour of the rejoicing. Lord, we think of the words in Romans, rejoicing in hope. Oh, Lord, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, help us, Lord. And help us thus that we come here tonight with the word that we may feel the blessed favour of the Holy Spirit, shaking of the things of Jesus and revealing them unto us. And so, Lord, do seek thy blessing to each soul here, Lord. Oh, bless them each and all. And may there be those things done in thy holy sovereign will and purpose in precious souls. Lord, help us thus. And come, Lord, and help us that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that thus it may be a time of favour in this service, this week evening service. And prepare us for thy day, Lord. And now as the Friday brings us nearer to the Lord's day, and Lord, we do pray, we may each be prepared for thy day. And thy dear servant, who we know is engaged to be here on thy day. And now as we've heard him very well on two recent occasions, and Lord, we do pray that we'll bless him again in preaching here. Lord, bless his ministry, marching this thy cause of truth. And Lord, we do pray thus for all thy servants and those, Lord, engaged in the next few services, who knoweth. And Lord, in all the year, if it is thy will to spare and cause that time shall continue, Lord, thou knowest thy will. We would not speculate, we would not in any way try to delve into things that are not revealed. We pray for grace to live day by day. Oh, may we each be in exercise for that. Oh, day by day to live. And, oh, we know and feel it much. Oh, we do pray that there's rising each morning, which, Lord, whatever the many of those days yet some of us may have, but Lord, thou knowest, it's dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. But, oh, Lord, when we rise and we feel thy presence, it's a blessed morn. Oh, may we yet know them. But, oh, Lord, then, to know the dawning of eternal day in glory. Oh, we think of the words of Rutherford's hymn, glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Oh, as we have said, Lord, and beg thee to give us light and give us a view by faith across the Jordan into the promised land. Oh, may we know it as we sing. Oh, faith gives a constant view, and how different from the wilderness we now are passing through. May it be so we have a glimpse yet, Lord, another glimpse. Lord, so do help us, teach us, sanctify us, prepare us for all thy will, whatever may appear. And Lord, so lead us on, lead us in the way everlasting. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 789. 789. O ye sons of men, be wise, trust no longer dreams and lies. Out of Christ almighty power can do nothing but devour. Hymn 789.
Thank you.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to some words that we have read in the chapter, the Psalm number 107. It's the 30th verse, the last part of the 30th verse. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. In the context of the psalm, there are these several expressions of experience of what God's people have to know and go through, and how they have to prove to be in trouble and then cry out in their need, call upon the Lord in their trouble, and how God in his wonderful mercy and purposes of love and mercy hears the cries of his people and saves them, as we have read it the several times, saves them out of their distresses. And here in this particular part, it is as it begins in the way, they that go down to the sea in ships and do business, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And so, friends, it's what we have in this short part of the verse, the part of the verse, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. It's he and them, and it's God's way. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And the question we must begin to consider is it their desired haven to be in heaven? We know there can be havens on the earth. We know, and we, my dear one and I, when we were coming home from Guernsey once, it was a tremendous, tremendously rough sea. And I looked out of the windows, and I was a good swimmer in those days. And I thought, looking at that sea, the great rollers coming from the western approaches, hitting us on the side of the ship. And it was, as I looked out, and I thought, I could never swim in that water. I could never survive in that water. And has it been sometimes in your pathway, your distresses, your troubles that you've come into in the angry sea of life? I can never survive. I can never get through. I can never endure this. But oh, you have proved that he's heard your prayers. You've had to cry unto the Lord in your trouble. And especially, I mean, your soul trouble. You see, the true-born child of God will know something of soul trouble, and having to cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, we are brought to know the trouble of sin, indwelling sin, the trouble of the temptations of Satan, the afflictions of sin. It's all been acknowledged in the hymn we've just sung, friends. And oh, we have to come to these times of absolute despair, but the Lord doesn't leave us in despair. It's the scope of Satan to cause despair. And in the permissive will of God, sometimes deep purposes of God, we're allowed to be under the onslaught of Satan. Satan's given allowance by God to harass and perplex and dismay God's people. But, oh, friends, he brings us to the place of hopelessness, helplessness and hopelessness by thy cry. They have to. And so, as I have said, it's he and them and their desired haven. And I think of it like I did mention that journey up from Guernsey to our mainland, and oh, how it was such a haven that we felt it as a haven when we got into the sheltered water of the harbour area of Weymouth Harbour, as it was in those days many years ago now. Oh, that was a haven. And you may have had havens in your experience. And you've been so continuing and travelling and going on in your life. But what is ultimately your desired haven? Oh, I believe it will be to be with your Lord in heaven. And so it's here, he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Now the word desired is, of course, the word desire is, it may figure much in the child of God's experience. I look back to when I was a young man, I'd been under the law of God. The terrors of the law were solemn. We had been blessed and raised to hope. And our late dear friend, Mr. Ramsbottom, came for his first visit to Stockport Hope. But I was in a state where I'd been raised to a hope, but I got into a very cold state. And I was troubled about it. I wanted to know the Lord's returning and giving me to feel more like I had felt. It seemed I'd lost a lot. I'd lost his presence. But the dear servant of God, in the midst of his sermon, he said, he, as it were, looked up and lifted up his hands, and he said, "Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek." And that was a very, very wonderful help to me. I can't remember anything other of the service, the sermon, the text. I can't remember, but I shall never forget those words. Those feeble desires. And so as you, some of you younger ones, whatever path and part in your life you're in, you know, desired haven. Desired haven. It may be, even if you're called by grace, you may not be feeling the liveliness of that desired haven ultimately. But I believe the Lord will sanctify you and teach you if he's begun in you and bring you to that. You know, when you get older, and I think, as I've known a number of dear friends, when they coming into their old age, they do have a view of the desired haven of heaven. They have to realise it more and more as they feel weakness and coming into old age and more infirmities. Like dear deacon at Stockport Hope, he spoke of this when he was beginning to get infirmities. Said to me, "You're still in your prime, but I'm getting into the old age where you get more infirmities." And of course that is so. But young ones can be afflicted, as some dear souls here know that, and have passed through deep things. But you see, the whole of it in the will of God is in God's wonderful purposes of love and mercy for his people, it shall all be for good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the killed according to God's his purpose. His purposes will ripen fast and fold in every hour. And if you're feeling bitterness at this time, the bud may have a better taste. Its sweet will be the flower. Also, we know blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's work in vain. God is his own interpreter. He will make it plain. So he bringeth them. Of course, here, like we've read, as we've read it again in beginning the sermon, you know, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still the storm of life. Come to me this morning, pondering. I know it's not in our book, but the theme of it seemed to arrest me. Will thy anchor hold in the storm of life? Oh, when the billows roll, when more trouble comes, if it does, will thy anchor hold? We know we have it in the Epistle to the Hebrews, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is forth entered, even Jesus. Can you say you have this anchor, the anchor of faith and hope? And will it hold? Have you proved it already? Have you proved that anchor that holds you, that keeps you, faith with hope and love? The graces of the Spirit given to the people of God in exercise. And oh, faith in the bleeding lamb, like we've been singing. Oh, he, friends, the Saviour, the Redeemer, he who has done completely all what the Father gave him to do, he's accomplished. He. Oh, you cry to God, you pray to God, plead in the name of Jesus. You know he's the only Saviour. Oh, if ever my poor soul be saved, his Christ must be the way. And so, here in this way, this is the way of these precious souls who have these experiences. To so, as we've read in the several downs and up and these several ways of the crying to the Lord in their trouble. The troubles, you know, like in the midst of the theme here, falls because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. They draw near unto the gates of death, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. So are you one, friends, who comes to times when you have to cry unto the Lord? But what a wonderful thing it is. God's people are afflicted through many things, to their own folly and the ways of the crafty onslaughts of Satan against them. Oh, many afflictions. But oh, in those afflictions and trials and the painfulness of them, you have to cry unto the Lord in your trouble. What a wonderful thing it is. We have a God to go to. And you know, the child of God who knows the throne of grace knows the way to plead and beg of God for mercy and for help and for grace is to plead the name of Jesus, to plead what he has done, to hope in him, hope in Christ. The soul revives, supports the spirits when they droop. Hope celestial comfort gives. Who can give us hope? And that question is something like the Apostle Paul put when he cried out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" But he knew who would. He knew who only could. And it was the Son of God. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank God And you will thank God that he gives you to plead for Jesus' sake. And one said, I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. He saveth. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Very carefully I would say, no one has felt with the dear friends that have been taken from us. I believe we can say of those six we know of, the time of funeral service we await, I believe they've gone home, friends. I believe they have. We would not wrongly speak. But oh, there is a witness. I have felt him in the favour of knowing them, and knowing of the way God's worked in them. Not perfect lives. None of us have a perfect life. But oh, he, the perfect one. Oh, we believe that everyone that dies in Christ is to be welcomed home into heaven. They will be there. I believe they are there. The Lord knows how we feel, what he gives us in our exercise, and what we want to acknowledge regarding dear departed friends. Oh, believe in their home in heaven. Surely it is so. We humbly believe what we say is what God gives us the persuasion of, the witness of what he did in them, not what they have done, what he did in them. And so we follow on, we hope, relying entirely upon our Lord, his life, his death, his glorious resurrection, nothing of ours at all. We have no merit. Oh, when we live on Jesus' merit, then we worship God aright, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then we savingly unite. Oh, we hope we unite here this night by the grace of God. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. But friends, is it your desired haven? Is it your desire to be with Christ, which is far better? Are we being so taught and blessed of God to know and believe in our Lord? Oh, we will have to unbelieve in ourselves. Oh, we'll have to know and be brought to be self-renouncing and grace-admiring. God will show us what we are. Our wretchedness, our vileness, our trouble of heart over sin, that we are sinners, we are unworthy of the least of God's notice. But God is merciful and gracious to those he's set his love upon. Have you got any real evidence that God loves you, friends? Is it your first anxious concern and question and prayer? Does God love me? Oh, do I have evidence that God has set his eternal love upon me? Am I one of those of the sovereignly loved children of God who were chosen ere time began? You know, God shows you, reveals to you, teaches you the truth, and the truth is it is in Jesus. That God does not love savingly everybody. Oh, he loves a number which no man can number, yes. But oh, they are those that he has set his love upon. Am I one of them? Am I one of those that God has purposed to save? And have I, in experience, been brought to know the realities of the work and operation of the Spirit of God in me, teaching me, revealing to me my state and condition as I am in nature? But oh, something too I humbly hope you'll be able to say what you are by grace, and what the Lord shows you, what he's taught you, how he's worked in you, what he's done in you and for you. Is there real evidence that you are a child of God? Is this your greatest concern? I mean, you've got concerns. Every one of us have got concerns about our daily natural lives. But what about our immortality? What about the concern, where shall I spend eternity? Like a dear young man, when we spoke, when he was very young, saying eternity is forever and ever. Oh, do we really consider that? And are we really concerned over that? Eternity is forever and ever. Oh, eternity, tremendous sound. The guilty soul's a dreadful wound. And it is. But it goes on, the theme goes on. Oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accent, now divine. Do you have a hope Christ is your Saviour, mine? Is he precious to us, friends? Is he that one more precious than fine gold? Oh, is he the altogether lovely and the chief among 10,000? What, think of Christ, he who you pray to God, plead in his holy name, plead in what he has done, plead in for his dear name, his Jesus' name. His sake, you plead for Jesus' sake. Oh, he bringeth them. He bringeth them. But friends, how has he made the way? Are we given to consider him? What he come for, what he's accomplished. Oh, how he lived and suffered and bled and died to redeem the church. He bringeth them. And oh, is it this in your life and mine that is so wondrous? When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Oh, do we survey it by faith? Do we have a view by faith of our Lord on the cross for us? He bringeth them. See the theme here? He bringeth. It's the effectual way of the Lord working in his people, teaching them, leading them. He bringeth them unto their desired haven. And through all the storms of life, the stormy seas as we've named, and storms, tribulation, all the things. But oh, friends, he bringeth them. You know, we have to experience tribulation, sorrow, trouble, affliction, whatever it is appointed for us. And God sanctifying his people will be in and through and by these means teaching them. But oh, as he teacheth us in and through these things, is it in this way we brought to consider Christ, what he went through? I know some of you have known affliction, and God has sanctified it to you. And in that time of you passing through it, you were so blessed to consider your Lord. You know what a blessed way God so teaches and sanctifies his people. When they know pain and affliction and weakness and maybe sorrow and much sorrow of heart because of their own sin and folly and how they have sinned against their loving Lord. All the depths of these things of deep experience. But you see him, his path was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ my Lord suffer? And shall I repine? So he bringeth them, teaching them like this, bringing them along in their journey of life. So he bringeth them. And like in the context of the angry sea and the many things that are acknowledged in this psalm, so he bringeth them. He bringeth them by bringing them through the fire and through the sea. And as thy days, thy strength shall be. And some of you have wonderfully proved it. And so surely he's bringing you toward the end, his ultimate purpose, to have you in heaven with him. So he bringeth them. I hope I can, as it were, grasp hold of this by faith, believing it, knowing it, having experienced things. So he bringeth. Onward is the journey. Onward in the pathway. Journeying on. Journeying home to God. In the way the fathers trod. They are happy now and we soon. Their happiness shall see. So he bringeth them. He bringeth them unto. He bringeth them unto their desired haven. So he bringeth them. The ways of the experience of God's people under the work and operation of the Spirit of God in them. And they following their incarnate God possess the promised rest at last. Oh, it's following Christ. Seeing him gone before us. Seeing him, our glorious leader, gone before us. Oh, what a favour it is to have the eye of faith, to behold your Lord, to see your Lord gone before you. Oh, see him in the olive press. See him in Gethsemane. See him at Calvary. Oh, he bringeth them. What he has done, it's what he has done brings the child along in the way of life toward the celestial city. It's nothing of what they do. Not they cannot earn salvation. Everything of theirs is the opposite. But he bringeth them. So he bringeth them. He bringeth them unto their desired haven. And oh, he makes it to really be desired. Oh, when especially the child of God is weakening. He weakeneth their strength in the way. He does it for his sovereign purpose. He brings his people down, brings proud nature down. He strips them of all their fancied meekness. He takes away the filthy garments of fig leaf righteousness. He deals with his people to break their schemes of earthly joy, that they may seek their all in him. Younger friends, perhaps more the beginning of this, he gives you an aching void the world can never fill. He's dealing with you to so sanctify you, to separate you out to his praise, honour and glory. It may to nature, to your natural mind, seem very strange. Strange. Oh, but think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial, it may get harder and hotter and more painful. But surely, if it's for the sovereign purpose of God to bring you into heaven at last, surely you will learn this, that, oh, how profitable it is. How you will be brought to renounce the things of your own former pride and feel the favour, the wonderful riches of his grace. Oh, the favour of the way God's dealing with you to break your schemes of earthly joy that you may seek your all in him. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. And he makes it to be a desired haven. This world is not our home. No, they desire a better country that isn't heavenly, because they're getting weary of earth, themselves and sin, and want to be with their Lord. Think of Paul the Apostle. Oh, how it's so recorded what he felt, he spoke, he wrote it, he recorded it, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But oh, the Lord showed him it was not the time yet. And it was because it was going to be more needful for the people that he stay and continue. And he did continue until that appointed time of his taking home the glory. You see, oh, the way of God is so he bringeth them onward and toward the eternal weight of glory laid up for them in heaven. But oh, it must be and will and can only be his time, divine appointment. Oh, the divine decrees remain unmoved. They must. And regarding each child of God and for all God's sovereign purpose, all his will, it shall be done. Thy will be done. He give us the desire to submit, to fall before him, submission to his will, and to wait, 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 my soul, submissive wait. Prostrate before his awful seat, midst the terrors of his wrath, trust in a wise and gracious God. So he bringeth them, teaching them, leading them, helping them, upholding them, keeping them. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. You know, as I've said many times in preaching, yes, of course, there'll be, by the work of the Spirit in God's people, they'll be given to be very much in need to pray and beg of the Lord to save them, you know, to teach them, save them, prepare them, you know, to stand before his face. And it will be to be saved from sin and death and hell, but something more, to be saved unto heaven. Not just the dread of hell alone is such a concern. You want to be with Christ. To be saved from sin and death and hell, the pleading for that, the need of it, the prayer for it, is vital in importance given by the Spirit to God's people. They will be made to be needing to beg the Lord to save them. Lord, save or I perish. But not just to be saved from hell even, but to be saved unto heaven. Because the one who saves is so by the Spirit made to the child of God so exceedingly precious. And when they are blessed to know and taste his love, they want to be with him. Now is this in you and me, friends? You want to be with your Lord. Heaven would not be heaven if you were not with your Lord. Here it is, I find my heaven. While upon the Lamb I gaze, and you want to be with him. Desired haven is to be with Christ, with God in heaven forever. Desired haven. Are we being sanctified by the Spirit to really have this desired haven in the eye of faith? Oh, that which faith keeps in constant view when the child of God is blessed and in a blessed state and favoured time of experience, when faith keeps heaven, that land of pure delight in constant view. What a favour it is to have that. You may say, I don't know much of it. I have to say, comparatively to what we desire, it's little we know. But the Lord does give us glimpses of it. He does give us that favour, foretaste. Oh, foretaste of heaven. Oh, how good, how pleasant it is. Foretaste of heaven to anticipate heaven. Oh, what a favour it is to have that favour, anticipate in heaven the prospect of it. And like we've heard it very graciously preached last evening, not that we were there in the chapel, but we heard it online, Clifton service last evening, dear Mr. Barker preaching. Oh, it was a very good sermon. And he was much helped, and we felt helped hearing him. And the word was so blessed to us. Oh, how blessed God's people are. Word in Revelation doesn't quite come to my mind at the moment, but I'm sure we can tell you if you need to know. But the blessed favour of heaven, prospect of heaven, God's people landed home in heaven. Oh, the wonderful prospect of it given to God's people in the eye of faith. I shall to the end endure. Sure as the earnest is given, and more happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Can you feel it, friends? Can you feel some blessed favour of hope and prospect of heaven? Is this what you're living for? Is this what you're continuing in your profession for? Your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness and all what he has done. Think of what your Saviour has done for you. Suffered in your place. Bore the curse for you. Oh, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Paid the price for sin. Redeemed us, friends. Oh, shed his blood. The price of redemption, price of pardon was his blood, and he pretty near withdrew. He went right through, suffered the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. Oh, sacrificed himself, Christ our Passover, his sacrifice for us, friends. Oh, our Saviour, the Son of God, bore the curse for us. He suffered the punishment instead of us. The punishment of all our sins, which we would, every one of us, have to suffer forever and ever in hell. Our Lord suffered for us, all our sins in his own body on the tree. Suffered the hiding of his Father's face. Friends, he was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So like I felt to say at the beginning, friends, he and them. Oh, can we say he and us? He and me. Oh, he, the Lord of life and glory. Oh, and poor, wretched sinner like me should be blessed to have a hope in his mercy. He, by the Spirit revealed to us, formed in our hearts the hope of glory. He bringeth them. It's all what he has done. It's all the will of God for his people. The people he has formed for himself, they shall show forth him his praise. He, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And friends, bringeth, ultimately, that they be there, home in heaven. But the bringing is God bringing them along in life through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy. Oh, desiring the praises of God. Do you desire, as you're living and hoping in this way and granted some prospect in this way of heaven at last, what is it as he's bringing us along in the way of life, the way of grace? Are we concerned how we continue here until we reach the fields above. What is the purpose of our life? Is it in God's holy will? He has a particular purpose for you. Some are brought by God according to his holy will and purpose to be witnesses, to witness, to praise him, to give public witness. Oh, we pray more may be blessed so to do, to follow Christ, to live to his praise, to give witness, to show forth his praise in the way he's commanded his people. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Is God leading you along? If he's bringing you toward the desired haven, and ultimately have hope, he will bring you home into the desired haven of heaven, the desire he's given you to have, and Christ made so precious. Surely in the passage of our lives, we should be living to his praise. Oh, may it be a concern. As too, God has his purpose with some of those, his dear sons, that he has called and blessed and done so much in and for them. He has purpose they should be made his servants to preach the gospel, to preach the precious Christ. Those that he has appointed for this purpose surely will experience him bringing them along, leading them along, teaching them, even through depths of trial and affliction, maybe some. But his purpose is to cause them to be anointed for the preaching of the gospel and to stand upon the walls of Zion and publish in salvation. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of them that publish salvation, that publish peace. The Lord knows. So he bringeth them and bringeth them along in their experiences and giving the exercise and bringing it at its time to that fullness of fruition. They must go forth. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, go forth. The Lord knows. But so he bringeth them. Oh, heaven, and their journeys end in view and realms of endless day, and the way God so causes it to be so for each one he set his love upon, and he lands them home. You know, oh, how so blessed. Oh, we anticipate heaven, what it is to be there. Oh, but he gives sips by the way. He feeds our souls, keeps us alive. Oh, none can keep alive his own soul. He who first made us still keeps us alive. And in this reality of favour, knowing it, proving it day by day, surely this gives us confidence. Oh, confidence of faith, hope, and firm believing, true believing, all through him that loved us and gave himself for us. So we come to this, friends. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven in quietness and confidence. Shall be thy hope and thy prospect. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 570. The Lord on high his love proclaims and makes his goodness known to men deserving endless pains. He gave his only Son. Hymn 570.
Forgive anything that thy holy and pure eyes have seen amiss in our service. To own and bless thy word, Lord, seal it to us each in blessed prospect, that thou wilt bring us safely home to be with thee forever. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.